B-Pod Studios.
Big E is cashing in his money in the big contract. Gonna be over Lego, but we have a new champion. We do. Oh my gosh. Here is your winner.
What's going on, y'all? This is WWE Superstar Kofi Kingston, and you are listening to the Wrestling Inside the Ropes podcast with James Stewart and Mike Riley, baby!
Mike Riley, we were ringside in Boston on Monday night. We were a part of history as Big E cashed in his Money in the Bank contract and defeated Bobby Lashley to win the WWE Championship. Just to set this up, at 12:51 p.m., Big E tweeted, quote, "Let's let that cat out of the bag. I intend on cashing in my Money in the Bank contract tonight and cashing in to become WWE Champion," unquote. The originally scheduled main event for Raw was a tag team championship match, but on Friday it was changed to a Randy Orton versus Bobby Lashley WWE championship match, which was the original main event for Extreme Rules. Big E on SmackDown teased that he might cash in. Monday he sent the tweet that I just mentioned. Lashley beat Randy Orton clean in the middle following a spear. Lashley then takes out Riddle, puts him into the post, takes out Orton, puts him through a table. And when Lashley put Orton through the table, he was limping a little bit, came up lame. Then here comes Big E, and the announcement of Big E cashing in is made official. Now, on the TV side of things, what people who were watching Raw saw was Raw go to commercial break. In the arena, there were all sorts of delays. Bobby Lashley had a microphone. I did not hear what he said. He gave it back. He was trying to get away. The fans were chanting, "Ring the bell."
Yep.
I think they used a cuss word in there once or twice. Lashley walked up the ramp to leave. Sonya Deville came out, stopped him, and said the match is on. When TV came back from the break, Lashley was on the opposite side of the ring, getting back into the ring with no explanation as to why he was there. Big E smacks Lashley in the face. Big E, with all the guts in the world, smacks a MMA UFC fighter right in the face. And Bobby Lashley, straight face, turns to the referee and says, "Ring the f-ing bell." Bell rings, match on. Within a few minutes, the Boston crowd is chanting Big E. Big E hits the big ending. 1, 2, 3. Boston counts along. New WWE champion, Big E. Boston goes nuts. Here comes Kofi and Xavier Woods out of nowhere to come celebrate. Raw goes off the air, and very cool moments of the off-air show. Mm-hmm. Corey Graves and Jimmy Smith and Byron Saxton all waiting to give long embraces to Big E on his championship win. Big E then goes around, and every single person ringside who wanted a photo got one. Yep. With the belt, with a weird face, whatever it was. Mike, this was an amazing moment. This was the pro wrestling gods giving Boston something special, because SummerSlam didn't happen and the likelihood that Boston won't be getting the Royal Rumble. Mike, Big E is the new WWE champion. The experience was amazing. What do you make of it all?
Yeah, I'll start with the experience and then thought on why he became the champion. But, you know, just like you talk about that, Jimmy, being there in the front row. And folks, if you've never been ringside for a wrestling event, if you are a pro wrestling fan, make sure you cross it off on your bucket list at some point, because it really is beneficial. You just don't know when a moment like that is going to happen. And being a fan as long as I have been, that was really amazing to have been a part of that right there in that very spot. I've been fortunate enough to see the title change in Boston three times. The last time was John Cena, 2014, Money in the Bank, and then Stone Cold Steve Austin, WrestleMania 14. Seen many title changes in person, which is always a very exciting experience, but right there front row is awesome. And like Jimmy said, Big E coming around taking photos of people was really amazing. Now, you talk about everything that went down there, how it all transpired and so forth with the tweet that began earlier in the afternoon. The first thought that came into my mind, Jimmy, was that this was the first Monday of Monday Night Football. And as we know, WWE Raw and Monday Night Football, they've been going head to head since 1993-ish. So Monday Night Football has been at the helm. They have anchored themselves in that position well enough where people are going to watch the NFL. Now, we know Raw took them over for a little bit during the Attitude Era, but the NFL is just in a different planet. I think this was brilliant what WWE did last Monday for Big E to tweet out that he would be cashing in his Money in the Bank contract. It got people away from the NFL potentially to grab onto Raw. And when Big E won the championship, this was during the final moments of a great NFL game, by the way, the Raiders and the Ravens, two very good NFL franchises right there. And the fact that you're going head to head with that right there in a championship changing hands on that very moment, that makes things very interesting going forward here for WWE now that we are in football season for people to be watching Monday Night Raw. So with Big E winning the title right there, I think more exciting things are on the horizon here for Monday Night Raw. And as far as Big E is as the champion, I'm excited to see how far he can run with this thing. And could he be the guy? You know, here's the other thing too, Jimmy. He's the only babyface champion right now, I guess, for the big ones. Becky Lynch a heel. Charlotte's a heel. Roman Reigns a heel. This is big, no pun intended, for Big E as a babyface champion to see what WWE is going to do with him.
Well, so Big E is the clear babyface. I think Charlotte's kind of a tweener because Boston was for Charlotte. Some of Boston was for Charlotte. Some of Boston was against Charlotte.
Right? We know you were for
Charlotte versus everyone.
Oh, you always are.
Hey, you got a loyalty.
Oh, I respect it. Yeah, it's awesome.
Brand loyalty, right? Brand That's loyalty it. is a common phrase now. Of course. But I think as far as Big E goes, it's so. Actually, let me back up a little bit. I think they made this decision on Friday. Mm-hmm. Because that's when they started really promoting it on SmackDown, and then the tweet came out. I found out Sunday night that the basic rough draft of Raw and that Big E was going to win. Okay. And I almost wrote it down in an envelope and had you guys sign it to prove that I actually had an idea. Billy Lanny can be my witness.
Yep.
I got an idea of what Raw was going to look like. Mm-hmm. So my anticipation was to see if they were actually going to do it.
Interesting. Nice job.
And they actually... I'm still like, we're a week away. We're a week from this happening. And yeah. I still can't believe that they actually had Big E win. Like, I'm still stunned that they did it. And the Monday Night Football. So this is a thing that Bruce Prichard talks about. And this is something that bigger companies talk about. Hmm. WWE isn't necessarily in competition with AEW.
Exactly.
WWE is in competition with everybody, with the idea that they have their network, they are now on Peacock. They want you watching their content all the time. And Peacock Network, NBC Universal, doesn't care what you're watching on the Peacock Network. They just want you watching their network. If that's the news, if that's a movie from 20 years ago, if that's wrestling live, they just want you on their app, consuming on their website, consuming their product. That's all that they want you to do. So this is a way of saying WWE on Friday knew what they were going to do. They teased it. And here's what they did, Mike. This is the most important part of it because this is something that we've talked about with AEW.
Yeah.
With CM Punk, the tease was, hey, the United Center Friday night. 10 o'clock. It's the second Rampage. We know you know what's coming, but there's that 1% chance that you're like, oh, I don't know if it's going to happen. Mm. So like I went into that show. I went into Raw on Monday.
Yep.
And I thought, knowing that I had been told that Big E was going to win.
Yep.
Are they actually going to do it? Mm. Are they actually going to pull it off? Are they actually going to do it? How are they going to do it? But with the tweet, even if you didn't know that Big E was going to win,
yep,
you're like, are they going to swerve me? Is it going to be an attempted and a failed cash in? Is Big E going to come in during in the middle of the Randy Orton Lashley match and make it a three way? And Randy Orton's going to RKO Big E and win the match and win the title. So you've given a title change, but it's not to the person. Like how? Well, essentially, Mike, how is WWE going to screw this up? And you right. know what, Mike? They didn't.
Exactly.
They teased it. They delivered it. And that is the key point to take away from Raw, is that they gave you something to look for in the show, and they delivered it, and they exceeded all of our expectations.
And if Big E did not cash in, that would probably be, from a fan's perspective, I guess you could say...
Fail. Massive fail.
Yeah, fart in church. Yeah. I would not be
It would have been typical that. WWE. They tease us just to take our money.
To grab and, you.
Yeah, and yeah. and they didn't do that. They delivered it.
They did.
And that's
why I think we could be on the horizon here for something exciting, especially during the football season. I mean, look already here. We're taping the day before September 20th, but you're going to have a six-man tag with Roman Reigns and the Usos on Raw. That's SmackDown.
Against New Day. Be specific, Mike. The teaser for Raw is now New Day versus the Bloodline.
And
to me, that was something that Big E said it in his post comments everywhere. It's like, oh, now we got to line up with the Bloodline. And I'm like, and in my mind, I'm thinking Survivor Series.
Yeah.
You no longer have to have WWE champion against Universal champion. You can put them all together and you can do a six-man main event match. And it makes sense. And nobody's going to complain about it because the Usos and New Day, that's the last... I don't know how many years. That's one of the great tag team rivalries in WWE history.
Yeah.
And you could put it all together. Nope, we're going to do it on Raw. Now, the key is they actually might have done it on the house show. I know that last night, Saturday night, they did Roman versus Big E versus Lashley as the main event.
Okay.
I think it was non-title.
Yeah.
And I think they were teasing it on social media tonight that they were going to do it during the house show in Augusta, Georgia, I think it was.
Okay.
But Raw, that's a huge main event for Raw.
Yeah.
And it makes sense because of the Monday Night Football aspect of it.
Exactly. Exactly. And the fact that, you know, you talk about WWE not looking at just AEW as a competition. Yeah, this is a huge one here, the NFL. And now you're making the point that, well, we're not afraid of you, NFL. We're going to do this.
They've never been afraid, Mike.
I know that. But I think what I'm trying to say is that now they're not afraid to kind of go outside the box and get out of their comfort zone. Because we had Bobby Lashley as a champion. Sure, he won on Monday Night Raw earlier this year. That was without a crowd, granted. It just kind of felt like WWE kind of needed a little bit of a change, and they delivered. They delivered. Big E became a new champion. I think Bobby Lashley did his part. He was a great heel. I'm not saying he couldn't be an opponent for Big E down the line. I'd probably get a rematch at Extreme Rules, at the very least a one-off. But you know what? The change was imminent, and we got it with Big E. And this is a long time coming for Big E. He was at Dolph Ziggler's side the night after WrestleMania 29 when Ziggler became the WWE champion or the World Heavyweight Champion when he cashed in his Money in the Bank. And here he is right here, forms with the New Day, maybe the greatest tag team of all time. Now he has become one of the elite greatest, among the greatest right now in pro wrestling. So this is a big step for Big E, and WWE is going way behind him here to see what he can do.
Greatest in pro wrestling, a little strong. Let's see. Yeah. Let's see.
Currently,
let's see
among the greatest.
But Mike, let's see what he does as a single here.
Oh yeah, okay? We got a long way to go.
Let's see what he does as a single here, because it's the greatest of all time. After one moment,
oh no, I didn't.
A little
say
strong, Tony Schiavone.
Among the greatest, today.
Among is still strong, even for this generation, Mike.
He's a champion.
As far as tag teams go, their main it might be New Day and the Freebirds.
Yeah, I got New Day, the greatest tag team of all time.
As far as a trio, we're talking New Day, we're talking the Freebirds. That's kind of the conversation.
Yeah.
The Shield had some splits in it, and that's why I'm hesitant, but resume wise, now it's how do you get Woods the world title? That might be something to think about in a year.
Right.
So.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
But yeah. Let's look to the future a little bit for Big E.
Yeah.
He's always been a big WCW fan and has always wanted a match with Goldberg. That could be in play because now Goldberg can beat Lashley without getting the WWE title and be a threat to Big E's championship, right? And everybody out there just groaned because it's Goldberg. But, I mean, that's a match that Big E wants. So send your hate tweets to WWE at WWE Big E, okay, if you don't want to see the Goldberg Big E match. A return for Lashley is in play. Randy Orton should be in play.
Yep.
The Bloodline crossover. Again, I thought that was going to be a Survivor Series thing. Nope, it's Raw. It's a feature match on Raw. So those are kind of the upcoming opponents for Big E, short of the idea that Big E is going to stay on SmackDown and they're going to move the Universal title to Raw, which I don't think is going to happen. But there's a path there to do that. Maybe we'll get into that a little bit later when we talk about Extreme Rules. But
That's exactly the shakeup is coming in 2 weeks. So there's so much possibility.
There's been some reporting, and I don't know that I necessarily believe it, but I want to bring it to the podcast.
Yep.
There has been some reporting that this plan, the Big E cash-in, was originally going to be October, either the SmackDown night of the draft or the Raw night of the draft. That's the reporting that's out there. I don't know if that's true or not true, but I want to bring it to the attention of the podcast listener. So I wouldn't be doing my job as a cynical wrestling podcast host if I didn't throw some second guesses at the wall. So here's my question to you.
Yeah.
Did WWE rush the Big E championship win?
You know, I thought that too. I asked myself that same question, similar to that. And here's what I thought. I think they only put it on him because of Monday Night Football. But in terms of answering the question there?
Thank you.
Yeah, in terms of answering it,
Bedard.
Yes, they did. Yeah, Greg Bedard. I think they did. Because I even said last week when we recorded that I thought Big E would hold on to the Money in the Bank contract and he'd cash in the night after WrestleMania, be the first guy to beat Roman Reigns and become the Universal Champion. So that's what I thought. But in the end, I think it's the right play to show that they're aggressive. But I think they did, though. What do you think?
So they did rush it, Mike? Yes, they did rush it, but I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
And the reason why I'm okay with it is because WWE has a long and storied history of being able to create moments in a short period of time.
Mm-hmm.
The tease on SmackDown, the tweet, Big E all over Raw, and then Big E closing the show, wins the title, creates a buzz, creates a headline moment. That is a key phrase here, creates a headline moment. You'll remember Kofi Mania was 3 or 4 weeks of a build. If you want to go back to 1984, and I do because Hulk Hogan wasn't on WWF TV more than 6 weeks before he beat the Sheik for the title.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
WrestleMania 3's build started February 1st. WrestleMania 3 was March 29th. They sold out a football stadium for WrestleMania on 6-8 weeks of build. Okay.
Yeah.
WrestleMania 17. Austin versus Rock. Austin wins the Rumble. Rock doesn't get the title until February 25th. WrestleMania 17 fills a football stadium on April 2nd. So WWE has a history of rushing these moments, but they continually deliver on these rushed moments, at least in the instances that came to my mind. I'm sure there are instances that are negative, and I will take all of them. But for this exercise, I'm just saying, like, these are some of the bigger moments in history. And I'm not saying that Big E is a top five moment in WWE history.
No,
saying is that they can have these moments on a short time frame and still have it be second guessed and feel rushed, but be the right decision.
Right. And again, they're showing that they're not afraid to go outside the box. Or I know you talked about the Mania 17 short build up there with The Rock, but he was already kind of established. And Hogan, sure, 6 weeks not being on TV too much, but they were trying to build up that new superstar in him, and they rolled the dice and they got that. But here we are, Big E.
Did you say they were trying to build up Hulk Hogan?
I think without the television on a weekly basis, because you didn't have that, not everyone knew exactly who Hogan was, whether a two-night-a-week program or a pay-per-view all the time. So you really had to really know who Hogan was or watch pay-per-view every quarter to know who Hogan was. Not everyone had the capability to watch weekly shows like they do now in 2021. Different era in 1984. But I think right here for Big E,
Mike, people knew who Hogan was when he came through the curtain at Madison Square Garden.
I'm not saying they knew. I'm not saying they didn't, but
they knew, and they went nuts when he won over the Sheik. They did. Of course they knew.
But it was a different era, though, because in this situation here, the short-term buildup right here with Big E, the fact that he has this moment right here after winning the Money in the Bank, the tease, and cashing in right there, we may see more of that over the next few weeks. Over the next few months, rather, I should say.
More cash-ins over the next few weeks?
No, more surprises.
Oh, more surprises. Yeah. Well, yeah, because the draft's coming up.
Yeah, it's awesome.
So we're gonna play the draft game at some point in the next few weeks.
Absolutely. Yeah,
the draft game is coming up.
Yep.
But what WWE has to do with the draft is they have to really make a move. Mm-hmm. They have to really, really, and I don't know what shakeup could really do that other than Balor wins over Roman, and now Roman is going to be chasing after Big E, who is now fully on SmackDown.
Yes.
I don't know that they would do that, but there has to be something like that. And I don't know what that move is.
Well, yeah, and now we're already looking ahead to Crown Jewel. We know we're going to get Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar there. That's after Extreme Rules, so it's the Prince gets
unless I did appreciate the tweet where WWE's like, "Yep, it's going to be Brock and Roman for the Universal Title, except if the Demon wins, then it becomes Brock versus the Demon." Which I did, even though I call BS on it, I did appreciate that they acknowledged that
nice
the
caveat.
Demon could win. So the rush with Big E is a fair second guess, but WWE has a history of rushing moments. Wrestling fans, we as wrestling fans, I feel like, are very forgiving of this stuff, and we're forgiving because of moments like Big E winning on Monday night. And selfishly, Mike, it's because we were there sitting there front row. Mm-hmm. The other second guess I had was I had a wrestler, a superstar, tell me that WWE made a mistake by having Big E win the way that he won. Rob being in Boston, in his opinion, Lashley versus Kofi should have been the WWE championship match. Kofi Kingston pulls the upset win in Boston, his hometown, creates a great moment. New Day comes out to celebrate. Big E nails Kofi. Woods looks shocked. Big E clears Woods out and cashes in, beats Kofi for the WWE championship. Now Big E is this big time villain. This superstar said, "It's big money, brother." And I said, "F off. I want to cheer for Big E." And his reply was, "I hate money."
Huh. Yeah. Well, that's why I hate that storyline, too. I mean, I like the A for effort on it, but no, I would not want to see Big E as a heel, especially the New Day. They've been so successful as a unit. And, you know, that's been discussed of Big E, or excuse me, New Day possibly turning on one another and so forth there, feuding with one another. And that, I don't like that. So I was more than happy that that did happen. And you know what? The hometown thing, you know how WWE treats that. Sure, that would make sense for Kofi to get screwed right there or lose out on it right afterwards. But I'm all set with that. I'm over the fact that these guys in their hometown can't win and everything. It's time for a change. And that was a perfect situation right there for Big E to cash in at the end. So A for effort on the fantasy booking their superstar, but agree to disagree.
I was I didn't realize this until I watched Big E on the bump. He has a lot of Boston connections.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, in New York.
Big E winning the WWE championship has over 4 million views on YouTube. So it's something to kind of keep in mind.
Nice.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
I have some NXT thoughts and gossip if you're interested.
Yeah, I get some. Go ahead.
Ciampa wins the NXT championship, which is exciting for me. I'm a big Tommaso Ciampa fan for a number of different reasons. NXT 2.0, I like the new look. I like that six new stars made their debuts.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the gossip reporting. I'm told taking the NXT title off Samoa Joe was a Vince McMahon call. One of the only Vince McMahon calls made in regards to NXT. Shawn Michaels will be running NXT along with Kevin Dunn. I think that's actually been reported elsewhere.
Yep.
Triple H, when he comes back, will be more involved with Raw and SmackDown, which, by the way, he's been part of the final creative, final four, I guess, for lack of a better way of terming it.
Yep.
Vince and Bruce were not at NXT. Vince had some other stuff going on. Bruce Pritchard was on vacation. The vision for NXT is to appear like a developmental show and not the C brand.
Mm-hmm.
The feeling in NXT is, or was, too many wrestlers got comfortable being in NXT and being an NXT star. So we're going to see more regular call-ups and more regular releases going forward. The feel of the show was and is going forward to feel more like FCW, which was the precursor to NXT.
Mm-hmm.
The goal now for NXT is to get more wrestlers ready for Raw or SmackDown rather than be the super indie.
Yeah, I think that's smart. Go back to your original roots as we talked about that there a couple of weeks ago, and that's good. I like that intel right there. And it's just like NXT was got really hot a couple of years ago, as we know, I think, to propel themselves to their alleged third brand. And we saw some feuds on the Survivor Series, NXT being a part of that there, and even talk of an NXT match possibly closing out WrestleMania at one point too, right, with those superstars there. But I do think that's important for them to be at that developmental stage to get back to where they are on the original roots. Tommaso Ciampa, 36 years old, new NXT champion, won the Fatal 4-Way against Pete Dunne, who's 27, LA Knight, also who's 34, Von Wagner, 34. You talk about Samoa Joe relinquishing the title just 20 days earlier, third title reign most all time in NXT history. As far as Ciampa goes, Jimmy, that's his first title win since March of 2019.
908 days since Goldie was stolen from him.
Yep, exactly. We know why he had to vacate. But I think Ciampa is the flag carrier for the promotion, especially after the alleged this potential rebrand here for NXT to really go back to its original roots. And Ciampa considered to be among the greatest NXT champions of all time.
There are few better veteran leaders of the locker room I can think of than Tommaso Ciampa. I think he'll be great. I think Samoa Joe would have been great, but Vince McMahon, for some reason, just doesn't like Samoa Joe, and I don't have any intel on that. I don't know.
Yeah, he really has.
I'd love to know. Yeah. So why is all this happening, Mike Riley? And I think it's the CM Punk effect. I think AEW setting a foundation for their company being 2 years old, having such a positive vibe, is having an effect, but not the effect, on how WWE does TV. But it's CM Punk, 9 million views and a buzz. 9 million people have viewed CM Punk's entrance on Rampage. There's just a pro wrestling buzz right now. Tony Khan has said publicly that the AEW pay-per-view a few weeks ago did over 200,000 buys. I know that, and I felt an energy at the Garden on Monday when we were there in Boston. Mm-hmm. It may have just been the whiskey, but I felt like it was a positive vibe that people were happy to be together at a wrestling show. And it was kind of a big deal to be there. And so if there's more of that energy in wrestling crowds, then we all win.
Yeah, I agree. And you talk about that with the CM Punk effect, and that's where I think it started this summer with the return of the live audiences. And just to go with WWE, they had a really good Money in the Bank pay-per-view, which, as we know, culminated with the return of John Cena, WWE building up the SummerSlam pay-per-view as the Summer of Cena. And of course, that intrigue, if Cena could become a 17-time world champion, to keep the audience engaged to that matchup there with Roman Reigns. Vince McMahon, of course, did say on an investor call last month that AEW isn't competition, but everything on TV is. And, you know, along those lines right there, when that came out, I think that's when AEW really turned the gas up. And as we know, CM Punk debuts the Friday before SummerSlam in Chicago. Bryan Danielson as well at All Out a couple of weeks later. So things get really...
Adam Cole,
yeah.
Ruby Soho.
So,
and the expectation of more, Mike.
Yeah, and you know, AEW is kind of firing on all cylinders right now. They were the number one show on cable on Wednesday nights, even during the Olympics. As we know, Warner Media pretty happy with Dynamite. They renewed the show and at a Rampage. And now you got Grand Slam this week at Arthur Ashe Stadium in New York City. AEW, a great all-out pay-per-view. They're in a pretty good position right now. And I think that really turned things up a bit here. And it's the whole effect on pro wrestling in general.
So they're doing essentially like two nights of 11 matches, and it's pay-per-view level. I mean, they're doing Omega and Danielson, mm-hmm, non-title in a singles match.
Yeah. Let me ask you, because Brian, I have a thought on that with Bryan Danielson and Kenny Omega. Do you think that should be a title match?
No.
Because not a pay-per-view?
No, I'm perfectly fine with it being a title match on pay-per-view, but here's why it won't be. They're going to do a TV time limit draw.
Oh,
so that's what I think, because they haven't done, at least that I can think of, they haven't done a time limit draw in a while.
Yeah.
Because what they can do with that is and we'll all boo the finish, right?
Of course.
But the bigger money is down the road, right? So
yeah.
Omega's the champion. I don't think they want to beat Kenny Omega again.
Yeah, I don't think he's...
Danielson's first AEW match is this one. Mm-hmm. You don't want to beat him immediately. TV time limit draw. That's how they get out of it, right? And I say get out of it because... Or it's a double pin. It's something that leaves you saying, I want to see the next one. There wasn't a clear winner here. I want to see the next one. And so, that's what they need to come away is they need the cliffhanger, where they can both make claims to, well, I had you beat, but the time limit expired. Well, I had you beat, but the time limit expired. Hey, there was a double pin. Hmm. Something like that.
Interesting.
I can't remember the last time they had a time limit draw, but I remember the time limit draw was so important. Was it Cody and Darby Allin or Cody versus Sammy Guevara? It was one of those two.
I remember, yeah.
But I just remember them using... I remember the AEW has used the time limit draw before.
Yeah.
And this would be a perfect spot to do it because it's giving the crowd great in-ring action and it gives them something else to look forward to because there wasn't a decisive winner.
Well, yeah, and then on the flip side, with the time limit, you could just have Omega win clean right here. Because
Hold on.
Time out. Let me finish, damn it. Kenny Omega, as of... Well, it was forced, but shut up. Kenny Omega, as of this Wednesday... No, screw you. As of this Wednesday, Kenny Omega... You're getting red ass, Riley. Of this Wednesday, will be 293 days champion in AEW. 293 days as AEW champion. As we know, that's the longest reigning in AEW. So if he does lose, I think that hurts his momentum. And you could get this match in a pay-per-view very easily, have Bryan Danielson win right there, take the title off him on pay-per-view, because to your point, Jimmy, getting more out of it right there, easy. Kenny Omega win, have some sort of backdoor DQ where the referee doesn't see it, or unclean win, if you will, and have a rematch down the line. Simple as that. Kenny Omega needs to win this match.
Did you think that Christian Cage beating Kenny Omega hurt Kenny Omega's momentum?
No, because it took off the Impact title, and I don't care about that.
But what it did was it helped Christian Cage make people think, I wonder if that's possible, that there could be an upset. And during the match, what actually protected Cage in the match on pay-per-view against Omega for the AEW title was Omega did a one-winged angel off the top rope.
Yes.
Which is something that I can't recall seeing before. I'm sure it's happened, and I just can't think of it right now. But
it's incredible, isn't it?
But beating in that case, Cage winning the Impact title, and he used the chair and all that stuff, it helped give Cage momentum. I don't think that beating Kenny Omega another time in such a short period of time gives Bryan that same momentum, Danielson that same momentum. I think the time limit draw is what gives people that feeling of wanting more. But yeah, I don't think they can beat either one right here.
Well, if this is a time limit draw, this cannot close the show. Can't.
But Mike, that's how they do it.
No, I hate that. Hate
this
it.
This is how they do it. So let's go back in time a little bit, right? Jimmy's history lesson. Clash of Champions 1. It's Sting versus Ric Flair for the world title. And it's 45 minutes. And it's a time limit draw. Did that hurt either competitor?
Well, wait a minute. Hold on. Was that your main event? That was your main event.
That was the main event of Clash of Champions 1.
In the end,
I think it was going against WrestleMania, one of the WrestleManias, the Rumble or something.
But time out. Was that their first match in WCW? This is Bryan Danielson's first match in AEW.
It was Sting's first big match against the champion on TV, I think.
Okay, well, if that's the case... Essentially, it didn't, but I'd err on the side of caution on that there for Bryan Danielson.
Because people look at that match and say that that was the match that made Sting a star. Now, Omega and Danielson are stars and franchise players, yes, but it left people wanting more. And this is the old territory booking, Mike. This is like 60s, 70s, 80s, where Ric Flair would swoop in. Mm-hmm. He'd do a 60-minute time limit draw with whoever the local champion was, and the champion would come oh so close to beating him, but the time limit expired, or Flair cheated, or Terry Funk cheated, Harley Race cheated, whoever the champion was at the time, it doesn't matter.
Yeah,
but that would be the old thing, is you'd wait for the return match, and the feeling is like, oh, the next time the belt's coming with my local favorite. Mike, you're going to have a situation where you need something on TV where you're going to want the audience wanting more. Because I just can't see, I don't feel like they can beat Omega, and I don't think that Danielson can lose here. And that's just me. So you have the time limit draw. It goes on last. The match hits the ring at 9:30. The bell rings at 9:35. You do the commercial break stuff. You do the pitcher in pitcher. And then you get, hey, 1 minute in TV time remaining. And then you have Danielson do a flurry of offense to try to get the win. And maybe he hits the running knee with 2 seconds left and he can't get the cover in.
Okay. I mean, I think that would be pretty cool. But again,
I think the last time limit draw that Omega's been involved in was against Okada for the IWGP title.
Wow.
So and that was a 60-minute time limit draw.
Wow. That's almost like the Ironman match. It is the Ironman match.
I think that was – and if I remember correctly, it was Okada hits the Rainmaker, but they're exhausted. He can't make the cover, and the bell rings, and it's the time limit draw.
Wow. Okay.
If I remember correctly, it was, you know, my brain scattered, but yeah. I think that's the way that they have to finish that match. Two more general thoughts on AEW, and then I want to do a little quick Extreme Rules thing.
And that was, you're right, it was Okada, Kenny Omega, Wrestle Kingdom 11, Jimmy. There you go. Boom.
Yep. Good job. I wonder if MJF gets cheered in New York. I wonder that. Mm. I wonder that. It's just okay. Something, because the hometown thing, right?
Well, yeah. Now,
just wonder it.
I also wonder if we see Braun Strowman debut. Because the way AEW has been going here, debuting former WWE talent, do we get a debut of Braun Strowman here, or do you tease him?
I think he's booked somewhere else that night.
Okay. But you could get a tease, and then you get him, later down the line in AEW.
It's possible, but I know he's doing signings this week for different companies, so.
Okay. All right.
So that might eliminate, but, you know, card subject to change. Signing subject to change. One thing that kind of has bothered me about AEW is they don't need to curse. Like, they cursed 20 times. They dropped an S-bomb 20 times in one segment. Like, it's a small detail. It bugs me. They don't need to do it. All things considered, if using a cuss word is my biggest problem with All Elite Wrestling right now, it's kind of a good problem to have, right?
Oh, yeah, of course. Absolutely. And I think that, you know, we're out of, obviously, the Monday Night War era where WWE, prior to becoming public, had no real issue of doing the cuss word. So when you have their alleged direct competitor doing that right there, they're just showing that, well, you know what? The guys that we're going up against WWE, they're public. They can't do that. So you're not going to see it on their TV, but you can hear it on ours, and you can have a little fun with it. A little unnecessary to go over the top on it, I think, but overall, it's funny to a point, but just stop while you're ahead of the game, right?
If that's the worst problem we have with AEW, we're doing okay.
Absolutely. Just another thought on AEW here for Grand Slam, Jimmy.
Sure.
Ruby Soho, Britt Baker. This, again, could be a pay-per-view match. Similar to Kenny Omega, I'm a little concerned if AEW does take the title off Dr. Britt Baker, DMD, of course. I think she's carried the women's division and her popularity very high with the fans. But a great spot here for Ruby Soho. Love to see her get the title at some point, but I don't think it's going to happen here yet.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to happen for this soon, but it'll be interesting because there's a case to be made that Ruby Soho is the best worker Britt Baker's will have been in the ring with.
Mm-hmm.
So let's see what kind of wrestling match that they can put together. I think it'll be outstanding. And wouldn't be shocked if it let off the show, quite frankly.
And finally, you know, this show huge for AEW because we know WWE is always in the NBA and the NHL arenas, you know, TD Garden this past week. And now AEW for Boston, they're coming to a Gannis Arena, holds just under 8,000 for wrestling. Arthur Ashe Stadium, that's going to be the largest non-WrestleMania wrestling show in the New York City metropolitan area in a long time, as they do have more seats than Madison Square Garden, which can hold 20,000. So that's a big step right there for AEW. So tune into the show. It's going to be a good one.
Yeah, it should be good. And they're doing it across both Dynamite and Rampage.
Yep.
So WWE has a big show. It's called Extreme Rules. It's a week from tonight. This coming Sunday.
Yep.
It's September 26th. So I don't see this show as being a big news breaking show with something from it that we're going to remember, unless Demon Balor wins over Roman. I don't see that happening, but here's the path to it happening.
Yep.
Big E is the WWE champion. He's a SmackDown wrestler. Balor wins over Roman, and in October is drafted to Raw. And now you've got two clear good guy champions that the fans know that they can cheer. And then we're running back 2016 Finn Balor's Universal Champion. Red leather strap for the Universal Championship. And Raw has a completely new face, and you have the WWE Championship now on SmackDown. That's kind of the only path that I can see that makes sense. And you have Brock Lesnar interfere, and, you know, but I don't want if they were to switch it to Balor, and again, I don't think that they're going to.
Yeah.
I don't want to see then Balor go into the Saudi pay-per-view in October and just drop the title Brock. Like that does nothing for me. There's no point in doing that.
Right.
But if Raw needs this shot in the arm, it's not a bad path to it. And then you can have Roman on SmackDown chase Big E. And then you can set up Balor being chased by X, Y, and Z person.
Huh. That's not bad.
Just a thought.
That's not bad. Hmm.
If they were to have Balor go over on Roman, Demon Balor go over on Roman, like Finn is made. I mean, I think Finn is great anyway, but he's tiny, pal. Like that's the Bruce Pritchard line that you brought up is like
the little
you mean
guy,
the tiny guy, the little guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And now your Universal Championship division is just very different once you get past the Brock Lesnar match.
Right.
And that's the real changer, right? Is that now your Universal Championship opponents are Seth Rollins. You're changing the dynamic of the division a little bit. And now you have a champion who is continuously fighting from underneath as opposed to the big, strong Bobby Lashley, the big, strong Roman Reigns. It's a different dynamic. Maybe that's what they need.
I'm just looking at the card here and I don't see any titles changing.
I mean, Becky Lynch versus Bianca Belair, Becky cheats to win to retain the SmackDown Women's Championship.
Yeah, exactly.
Roman goes over, we think. Charlotte Flair versus Alexa Bliss for the Raw Women's Championship, which is actually something that I'm interested in.
Mm-hmm.
Because as far as I can recall, this is only like their second pay-per-view match, with the first being at Survivor Series 2017, which was really good and Charlotte won. And Charlotte and Bliss are just in different places as performers than they were in 2017. And that match, I felt the energy at Raw, like, ooh, this is going to be good. These are two characters. They haven't had a lot of cross streams. So it's time to see them on another big stage. And I think Charlotte wins and retains, but it's a matter of how she does it. And the Alexa Bliss character is interesting because it's in that Bray Wyatt feel of like,
yeah,
the fans
version.
Want her to be the champion, mm-hmm. but the office doesn't seem to feel like she needs the championship.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's one that I think Charlotte retains, but I wouldn't shock me if Bliss won.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't shock me if they did some superpower thing. And, you know, but again, it's a tough one because they're two completely different characters.
Yeah. And if Bliss does retain, you could very easily make the shift to have Charlotte go to SmackDown because of the superstar shakeup coming in about a week and a half after that.
But then you've got Becky versus Charlotte again,
which could happen. But I mean, I think you have to get the title off of Becky eventually, turn her face somehow, and then Charlotte could be the heel right there.
But
which is fine.
But Mike, this is the problem, right? So Becky is clearly going the villainous route, and the crowd's booing because I think that they feel like they have to boo Becky.
Well, they're pissed about SummerSlam.
Charlotte,
she could be a babyface.
She's in the middle here.
Yeah.
And so I felt there were more cheers than boos in Boston.
Mm.
There was even a Charlotte chant, if I remember correctly, at one point against Shayna Baszler.
Yes.
Right?
There was. Yeah. Yeah.
But the week before, it's all boos for the queen. Mm-hmm. You know, she gets cashed in on by Nikki Cross and the place goes nuts. She's in the ring with Rhea Ripley and she's flipping off the crowd.
Right.
So I don't know what we're supposed to do with Charlotte. I know what I'm going to do with Charlotte. I'm going to cheer her on, but I don't know what we as fans should be doing.
Maybe she needs that whole, redevelopment, if you will, or just to reestablish herself of, hey, I'm the villain, or I am the face here, and maybe that's why they would make that move for there on SmackDown.
And maybe it's just a situation, Mike, where it's
just some confusion.
She's working both good and bad, yeah. And it just depends on the opponent. She's taking on all. It's Charlotte versus everyone.
Mm-hmm.
See what I did there?
Yeah, Charlotte versus everyone. That was your shirt you had too, the same color.
That was stupid. I'll stop making it about me, but it's so hard. The Usos against the Street Profits should be good. That's for the SmackDown Tag Team Championship. I think you have a thought on Damian Priest against Sheamus for the U.S. title?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think Damian Priest is in a position where I feel similar to where Drew McIntyre was a couple of years ago. And I know Drew McIntyre was in a tag team with Dolph Ziggler, but Damian Priest is currently the United States champion. And if he continues this run here, and I think he will retain against Sheamus. Sheamus has been a world champion before, as we know. He's got that world championship experience. Working with a guy like that at a United States championship level, he may be coming to that main event core within the year. So keep an eye on Damian Priest here on your radar, folks. I'm excited to see what's going to happen with him. I think he's got pretty much everything, all the tools in the right places. It's just a question of how they'll be able to kind of make him at the main event caliber and if he'll be able to do it, obviously. But I feel strongly about him, especially being in this position as United States champion.
Damian Priest, Ring of Honor alumni. Just saying.
Another yeah, guy. There you go. I like Damian Priest. Big fan.
So a lot of good wrestling this week. A lot of good wrestling for us to talk about next week. We'll be recording after Extreme Rules. We'll have a lot to talk about, I promise you.
Yeah.
Each week, you can listen to Wrestling Inside the Ropes on the podcast page of 985thesportshub.com and on the 985 The Sports Hub app. While you're there, check out all the other original podcasts available from Boston's Home for Sports. Our podcasts are also available at bpodstudios.com and in Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.